blessed to spend some time with Pastor Mike and in the Word of God. Why don't we open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to continue today in our series, Love, Laugh, Live. The month of February, we're going to be looking at love. The month of March, we're going to be looking at laugh. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And then the month of April, we're going to be looking at live, living for the Lord. God is alive. Jesus is alive. Amen. He rose from the dead, and through him we can live a better life and an awesome life. I'll just get rid of some tears here. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." In verse 24, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you that you have given us of your Spirit. And Lord, as your Spirit lives inside of us, God, we know that because of that, we can bear fruit. And we see what that fruit is. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's goodness. It's kindness. It's gentleness. It's faithfulness. It's self-control. Lord, help us to bear that fruit. And help us, Lord, to be used for your glory, to become more and more like you. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last night we had a wonderful banquet, our couples banquet, and I think we had about 40 couples signed up, and not everyone made it, but a lot of people made it, and we had an awesome time in the gym. Again, Peggy Main made a phenomenal meal for us, so we just want to thank you again, Peggy, and everybody that helped her out. And today we want to talk to the whole idea of love and in marriage between a husband and a wife. I want to start out by reading that quote that Francis Schaeffer gave us last week. We looked at this. He says, "The meaning of the word love has been reduced to practically nothing. Surely there is no word that has been so devalued unless it is the word God itself. Central to semantics is the idea that a word as a symbol has no meaning until content is put into it." This is quite correct, because the word love as a symbol has been made to mean so little, it has come to mean everything and nothing. You know, when we think of the word love today, it gets thrown around so easily. You know, I love the New England Patriots. Sorry about that. I love chocolate chip cookies. Anyway, you know, we could go on. And last week we started to put content into that word when we looked at 1 John chapter 4. And we saw that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and also verse 16, it says this: God is love. And so really, to understand, you know, what love is and to put content into it, we have to look at God. And what we saw was is that in this is love, that God gave his only son as a propitiation for us. In other words, that Jesus came and died on the cross, and when he died on the cross, he took our sins upon himself. And not only did he take our sins upon himself, but we all know that as Jesus was on that cross, the Bible records for us that the earth became dark for 3 hours. Luke's gospel says this: the sun stopped shining. And we know from the Old Testament that darkness indicates judgment was being poured out. And so as Jesus was on that cross, not only did he bear our sins, but the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. Why? So that you and I wouldn't have to see wrath. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he takes our sins away. We can't do that. He takes away our punishment. He was punished for us. He bore God's wrath. That's what Jesus did for us. He became, you know, he came and showed us what it means to love and what it means to serve by giving of his life. "Greater love has no man than this," the Bible says, "that he laid down his life for his friends in John chapter 15. And that's what Jesus did to us. That puts content into the word love. Today we're going to put a little bit more content into that word as we look at some things. But I want to turn right now to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read the portion that Paul speaks to husbands and to wives. And in verse 22, he says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Then he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church." Imagine that. The picture of a man and a woman getting married together is the picture of Christ and the church. And then verse 33 says, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Okay, we're going to talk about some of these things, not all of it, but we're going to talk about some of this morning. But first of all, I'm reminded of something that happened a few years back. My lawnmower broke, and I needed a new lawnmower. Ken, didn't I? I needed a new lawnmower. Ken got me a new lawnmower, but it took a while. And so there was a couple of weeks that were going by, and as a couple of weeks were going by, guess what happened to the lawn? The grass kept growing, and so my wife was saying, are you going to take care of the lawn? Are you going to mow the lawn? And I said, I'll get to it. You know, I have a funeral. I have this. I have that. I've got all this stuff that I've got to take care of. I'll get to the lawn. Don't worry about it. Well, we need a new lawnmower. Where are you going to get a new lawnmower? I've already talked to Ken. We're going to take care of it. So I come home one day. The grass is getting pretty long, and there's my wife sitting out in the front yard with a pair of little sewing scissors, and she's snipping the grass. I drive in and I look at her, and I walk into the house and I look out the window and I see her snipping the grass with the sewing scissors, and I think, wow, that's crazy. I said, I think she's trying to tell me something. So what did Pastor Mike do? Pastor Mike went in and he found one of those little toothbrushes, you know, for my little granddaughters. And I went out and I brought the little toothbrush out to my wife and I handed her the toothbrush. She looked at the toothbrush and she says, "What's that?" I said, "Well, when you're done mowing the lawn, could you sweep out the driveway?" Listen, the doctor said I will walk again, but I'll always have a limp. Marriage is a relationship in which one person is always right and the other person is usually the husband. We got an amen over here from the left side. Of course, that didn't happen. I always mow the lawn, and that didn't really take place. But, you know, it amazed me as I was looking at these texts today. And this week, as I was looking through Ephesians chapter 5 and what it actually is saying. And I said, well, where are the other portions of Scripture that talks about husbands and wives loving one another? So I went to Colossians chapter 3 because it also talks about it there. And then I went to 1 Peter chapter 3 because it also talks about it there. And I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 because it also talks about it there. And I found something funny about the command to love. That's my first point this morning, the command to love. Did you know that you can look in vain and you will never find a command in the Bible, you'll never find a verse in the Bible that says this, "Wives, love your husbands." You will never find a verse that says, wives, love your husbands. Isn't that amazing? You'll find verses that say, wives, submit to your husbands. Wives are to respect their husbands. But you'll never find a verse that says, wives, love your husbands. Now, does that mean that women aren't supposed to love their husbands? No. I think of the story of Ruth and Naomi. It's a powerful story. Ruth is a Moabite, and she's married to Naomi's son, and Naomi's son dies. And Ruth is going to go back to her homeland. And you know, the Bible never records for us that Ruth loved Naomi. It doesn't say Ruth loved Naomi. But it does record this, that when Naomi told her, go back to your people, she told Ruth, go back to your people, I'm going back home. You know, God has made me bitter. My life has been bitter. I've lost so much in my life. My life is bitter. I'm going back to my people. You go back to your people. And Ruth said, no. Ruth clung to her. She says, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. May God do more to me may God do so to me and more if anything but death separates you and me. Wow. Never says that Ruth loves Naomi. But we know that Ruth loved Naomi, don't we? So the Bible never says, wives, love your husbands. But that doesn't say that wives aren't supposed to love their husbands. But it is very instructive to us to know that it does say and that the command to love is placed solely upon the man. The command to love is placed solely upon the man. Now, what was our first point last week? Love is not easy. You know, I missed a verse, didn't I, when I started reading. I missed verse 21, where it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but the man is the only one who is given the command to love. And why is that? Why is that? Well, because the man is the head. The man is the spiritual leader in the home. And also, I mean, I don't have really time to get into this, but if we went into the culture of that time, women really didn't have rights like we have in America here today. The life of a woman back in the day, listen, Paul was a women's liber. Husbands didn't have to love their wives in those days. They could treat them any way they wanted. So when Paul is saying this to the husbands, it was a very powerful statement. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, so much is made today. And so many people, you know, we kick against the goads when we hear wives submit to your husbands. There would be no kicking against the goats if husbands would love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, by far, the hardest commandment given to man is to love. Because this, my second point today is that the greatest form of submission there is love. The greatest form of submission there is love. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then he modeled it for us. He modeled, and we talked about that last week, didn't we? You know, that when we talk about propitiation, when we talk about what Jesus did for us, We sometimes tend to maybe think that that was an easy thing for Jesus. But what did we look at? We saw that it wasn't an easy thing for him, was it? Not when it really came down to it, because he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays three times. He says, Father, remove this cup from me. I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Love is not an easy thing. It's the greatest form of submission that there is. And so when we talk at the beginning about submitting to one another submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, you know, and we see the actual word submit written about the women, and we think, well, we don't have to do that as men because, you know, it doesn't tell us to submit. Oh, yes, it does. It tells you to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Isn't it interesting that when we saw that video, the Casting Crown song, Broken Together, did you notice that the emphasis was always on the man? Why is that? Again, because we are to lead in our families, and the way we're supposed to do that is the way of love. Now let's add some content to that word again. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because even though we read, you know, what are some of the statements in the Bible that tell us what God is? Well, we read in 1 John chapter 1 that God is light. We read in John's Gospel chapter 4 that God is spirit. And then we read again in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. But what does the Bible say that love is? And the perfect place to see what love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so husbands, when we are the ones that are singled out with the commandment to love, 1 Corinthians 13 puts content into what that means. What does it mean for us then to love our wife in a biblical context, not in the world's context? But in a biblical context. And starting at verse 4, it says, love is patient. And how easy it is for me. I know it's like this for most of you men, but how easy it is for me to be impatient with my wife. But God is telling me that I need to be patient. Yeah, Sam says, yeah, I've seen that, Dad, Mom. Love is patient. And so when we're loving our wives, the Lord is telling us that we need to be patient with them. Love is kind. We need to be kind to them. You know, this was revolutionary to the first century man. You need to be kind to your wife. Love does not envy or boast. You know, I was thinking of love does not envy, and I thought, well, what does that mean? And this is what the Lord just dropped in my mind. That means that I am supposed to love my wife in such a way. Don't strike me, Lord. I'm to love my wife in such a way that I envy the love that she gets from me without envying. In other words, I want to be loved like that. I want to be loved like that. But I'm going to love my wife that way even if I never get it back in return. Love does not envy, does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not proud. Love is not proud. It's not arrogant. It's or rude. Wow. Especially as a young man, I can remember how arrogant and rude I could be with my wife. And you know what? Here's where that video was so powerful, right? Because what I love about that video is, you know, it doesn't say that we're supposed to be perfect. It says maybe we weren't meant to be complete, but broken together. Because to me, the most powerful thing I can do in my relationship with my wife, the best thing that I can do for my wife is to love God with all my heart and with all my soul. and with all my strength. Because without God in my life, these things are impossible for me. My flesh kicks against these things. But with God in my life, and what does God, what is the gift God has given me to really mend things? He's given me this gift. Honey, I was wrong. Suzanne, please forgive me because how I acted in this instance. And of course, I very rarely have to say that to her. Thank the Lord. But no, really, what a gift it is. Love does not insist on its own way. You see, now that goes contrary to what we believe about how the relationship of a husband and wife is supposed to be. Love does not insist on its own way. Whereas, you know, we've got this idea now in American society that I'm the head of the household and whatever I say goes and I am insisting on my own way. As if that's the right way. No, because when you're really loving, you're not going to insist on your own way. That's hard to do. Love is not easy. It's a difficult thing, but guess what? God wants us husbands, listen, again, you will look in vain to find the verse that says, wives, love your husbands. But you'll see it repeated again and again. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. And what is love? Love does not insist on its own way. Wow, help me, God. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And then, as our bulletin says today, love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. You know what that tells me? Love, what's the last? Love never ends is how it says it in the ESV, but most all translations say love never fails. As a matter of fact, every other translation I looked at says love never fails. Love never fails. It doesn't end. So in other words, you know, if we're really following God, he can keep us, men, and he can use us to make our marriages what God wants it to be. The responsibility lies on us, men. The responsibility lies on you, and it lies on me to love our wives. There's content. That's a difficult thing. I wanted to show one more thing, but I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. My third point is, husbands, as the head of your households, you are to lead the way by love. As the head of your households, you are to lead the way by love. Love. We just added content to that. You know, we need to really, you know, we've been talking about reading Proverbs every day. And it's a powerful thing. We need to, you know, be in the Word of God every day. And when we read Proverbs, what is added to us? Wisdom. You know, if we want to know what love is, you know, we need to be reading 1 Corinthians 13 every day. Just looking at it, rehearsing it in our mind. This is what love is. And then when you look at it, you can then do an inventory. And you say, have I been loving to my wife today? Was I impatient with her today? Was there any point when I was unkind to her? Or that I envied? Or that I boasted? Or that I, you know, insisted on my own way? And then we can go back and say, wow, you know, honey, I was really impatient with you in this moment. And I snapped at you. Or whatever the situation might be. I was very unkind to you in this situation. Let me tell you something. Husbands, we cannot demand submission and respect from, or you might. You might demand submission and respect from your wife, but if you love her, you'll never have to ask for it. It will be there. It will just be there. Let me show you a picture of how this is not done. And if you've been in my pre-marriage classes, you've heard me use this example before, and probably I think I preached, I spoke about this one other time, but in the book of Esther, there's a story about King Ahasuerus. Most translations will say King Xerxes or King Ahasuerus. It doesn't matter. This one says King Ahasuerus. And he had a queen. His name was Vashti. And he was drinking liberally with all of his nobles. And he gave a command to her to come into his presence because he wanted to show off her beauty. And she refused to come. She said no. So according to the law, this is verse 15. What is to be done to Queen Vashti because she has not performed the command of King Ahasuerus delivered by the eunuchs? And then Memucan said in the presence of the kings and officials, not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but also against all the officials and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will be made known to all women, causing them to look at their husbands with contempt. Since they will say, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come. This very day, the noble women of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's behavior will say the same to all the king's officials, and there will be contempt and wrath in plenty. If it please the king, let a royal order go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes so that it may not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she is. So when the decree made by the king is proclaimed throughout all his kingdom, for it is vast, all women will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike. This advice pleased the king and the princes. And the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to every province in its own script, and to every people in its own language, that every man be the master, some translations say be the head, in his own household. And speak according to the language of his people. There you have it, guys. There's the evidence that this is how we are to rule our households. Can I tell you what this is? This is not God's way. But it's in the Bible, Pastor Mike. Yes. It's God's recording of man's way. Let me explain what I mean by that. Pastor Mike, let me ask you a question. Pastor Mike, are there lies in the Bible? Of course not. There are no lies in the Bible. No, there are lies in the Bible. Let me give you an example of one. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, this is a lie that is accurately recorded. In other words, it is true that what Satan said in Genesis chapter 3 is a lie. And that's how it becomes truth to us. And so what we have recorded for us here in Esther, it's not God's way. It's God recording for us how man, when he's left to himself, will rule his household. But God has called us to rule a different way, men. God has called us to rule and to lead by loving. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. God doesn't want us to lead by manipulation, by exerting our power over them. He wants us to lead by love. What did Jesus do on the night that he was betrayed? When he first went into that room, before he broke the bread, and before he passed around the cup, what did he do? Yeah, it says that he took off his outer garment. You want to know why he did that? Because none of the disciples would wash any of the other disciples' feet, and they all had dirty feet. So he wanted to set them an example. And he washed their feet for them. And Peter, he gets to Peter, and Peter says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And he says, never shall you wash my feet. He says, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. Then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. He said, a man who has taken a bath needs only to wash his feet. The rest of him is clean. Jesus was, he said, as you have seen me do, you need to do to others. He says, you know, I did not come among you as one. To be served, but I came among you as one to serve. And that's what he wants us to be, men. He wants us to be servants to our wives by loving them. And let me tell you, when we do that, it will be perfectly reciprocal. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands and respect your husbands. We'll never have to ask them or force them. It will just be there. We're going to sing this first song, Love Came Down and Rescued Me, again. And then we're going to sing, Oh Come to the Altar. But let's just sing this. Let's stand together and sing this song. And just let God's love envelop you for a moment.